Pushkin. Good, let's double it. Make sure you support the whole time. Now wiggle around to keep your whole body loose and relaxed.
I love that. That's my favorite.
I knew you were going to say that, but what I want to know is there a reason for it, or does it just feel good when you sing it?
It felt great, I think, because it really helps me to place my voice in the right place, and then every time we're changing the consonants.
And the reason I have you keep changing the consonants when we're practicing is so that you get used to singing them easily in any range, right?
Yes.
And you'll be able to pronounce them on higher notes, lower notes, and sound good when you do it, so you don't tense up or tighten up, because some words are harder to enunciate when you're singing high. That's me with Rosalía, a Spanish singer, songwriter, and producer. She's a star in both the Latin and American music scenes. This is Backstage Pass with Eric Vitro, and I'm Eric Vitro. I have to say, I love my job because I get to coach some of the most talented and famous singers working today. On this show, I'll talk to them about their lives, their craft, and what it takes to really make it big in the business. So now tell me, do you have a least favorite exercise, one that you don't like?
One that I don't like.
Or do you just love all of them because they're all so good?
I love all of them. Nah. There's one that I think is very tricky for me that has like a big jumps, but I don't remember the melody though. I don't remember, Eric, which one was. There was one that you were like...
Like way, 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 way.
Yes. Those are hard. Those are hard for me, I think. Yes, because I got to place the voice in a high place since the beginning. I always forget that. I don't know why. I always forget it. And you're like, come on, Rosalía. From the beginning, you got to place it in the front. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, right, right, right. So I think it's good that I practice it. But because it's hard for me, yeah, that's one that I don't
like. Well, that's why I do that exercise, because you really do have to place it in a good placement.
Yes.
If you want to do a smooth transition going from low to high.
Uh-huh.
And so it helps with your muscle memory of that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Rosalía has collaborated with artists such as Bad Bunny, Billie Eilish, J Balvin, and Travis Scott. You might know her songs, Con Natura, TKN, Malamente, La Noche de Anoche, or Pienso en Tu Mira. Now she's a big star, but that wasn't always the case. Do you remember the first song you ever sang when you were a little girl?
There was this song that I heard in the TV. I think it was called Acuarela. It did something like, El mar en el cielo son siempre es amarillo. Something like that. Something like that, I think, was. I sang it for the first time because my dad, he asked me to sing it in front of the family. And I was, like, so shy. I didn't want to. And he was, like, really, like, pushing, like, come on, come on, come on, sing it, sing it, sing it. And I did it. And then I remember that everybody in the family, it's been a year that I didn't saw them, that we didn't saw each other. But then I sang it and they started crying. I was like 9 years old or something like that, and I didn't understand what was going on in that moment 100%. And later, I was like, oh, okay, like I can communicate through music.
Wow. So that's how it really started for you.
Yeah, I think so. Because I was like a little bit shy. At the same time, I was like always like having fun and laughing and screaming, like with a lot of energy. I was that type of kid.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a shock. I had no idea. I would have never guessed that.
It's not surprising, no? Well, I was like that. I was like that. But when I felt like, oh, I was being observed, when I was too conscious about it, I didn't feel like doing it, like singing.
Right.
It used to be something more like I did for fun than something that I wanted them to see. I wasn't overthinking it. When I was a kid, I was just doing it because I had fun with it.
Right. Oh, that's so great. That's the best way, right?
Yeah, I think so.
When you don't think about it and you're not in your head about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Eric, now that you say that, I think that you helped me to not overthink At the same time, you helped me to see a lot of details, technical details I would never see by myself because, yeah, it's very hard to see unless somebody sees from the outside and tells you and points this and that. I think I could never do by myself, and it's so helpful when somebody's like, hey, did you realize this? Did you realize you can do like that? And these things, I feel like it's been very helpful since we started doing class.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like that's my job as a teacher, to really listen and then be able to say, hey, you know, that might sound really good, but this might even sound better, or just to open your mind to trying new things.
The possibilities.
Possibilities. It's all about possibilities, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like the more that we open our mind to that, then all of a sudden, things that we never even thought we'd try, we're doing.
Yes. Yes.
Because I feel like that when we work together, that, yeah, it is your job, it's your career, mm-hmm. it's important. But I always do feel like we're having a good time. We are having fun.
Yes. And we're always laughing a lot.
It's a joyous yeah. experience. And that's what's so great. I think if people lose that, they don't do as well. They don't sing as well. And their mm-hmm. career doesn't do as well. There has to be a lightness.
Yeah, when you take it too serious, don't you think that your body tense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a disaster, usually much more than when you're just having fun with it. And then it everything flows much more.
I think that's one of the most important lessons anybody can learn, yeah. is not to overthink it and not to take it too seriously.
Yeah, and I think that you always remind me these things. And I think it's great to have somebody that reminds you to still have fun, even if it becomes your job, still have fun with it. Still remember why you started doing it.
Is there a moment that you can remember where you knew, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a musical artist. I'm going to sing.
Yes. I remember I was at home with my sister and this woman that she used to take care of both of us. And I think I was around 8, 9 years old. And I remember Alaska was sounding. I think it was sounding on the radio. Alaska used to be like a very big singer in my country, and she still is an amazing, amazing artist that I admire a lot. And Alaska, she was like singing something very playful, and I loved it. And I was like kind of singing it with her when she was like sounding on the radio. And then that woman called Maribel said, oh, mira, qué artista. She said something like, oh, she's feeling herself like as an artist, like as a singer, something like that. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And since very young, like 9 years old,
wow.
I was really young when I really, really, really committed. I decided it. It was like a decision. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to perform. And I started singing on stage when I was 14, 15. At 16, I started like really working, like doing shows and things like that, like going to places to perform.
Are there any artists, any singers when you were young that really inspired you, that made you go, oh, I want to do what they're doing?
There was Camarón de la Isla. It was a flamenco singer, a gypsy singer from Spain that I loved. I was like, oh my God, his voice. He had a natural way to place his voice in a magical way, like really good. And it was very intuitive the way he did it. And it really inspired me. Like, I wish one day I can sound like that. And later I realized, like, okay, my voice is completely different than Camarón de la Isla.
Well, you are
fine.
A girl.
To start. But I was like, oh, but I love this man so much. I love his music. I love this flamenco traditional music from there. And I was like really, really, really inspired by this music and by his voice. So I loved Camarón de la Isla. I loved Lola Flores. She was a big, big artist from Spain.
Now, with Lola, did you sing any of her songs? Or with his, either one of them?
Camarón, I studied it, like when I was in college.
And did you sing some of his songs?
Yes, because it was he used to sing a lot of traditional flamenco music, and that's what I studied in college, for sure. He's a great influence,
I think. Can you sing a tiny bit of one of those songs?
A ver. I'm thinking about Lola. I can sing you if you want something about Lola. She was like singing this.
A tu vera, siempre a la verita tuya, siempre a la verita tuya, hasta que de pena muera.
En Camarón used to sing like,
Rosa María, si tú me quisieras qué feliz sería. Rosa María, si tú me quisieras qué feliz sería.
Wow. I can hear the influence both of them on you.
Right?
In your voice.
The Phrygian melodies and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was great training for you because you have the technique to be able to sing fast, runs accurately, but also, yeah, you're very invested in the story.
Yes, and also it really inspired me to write my songs nowadays. Like if I haven't studied this music for so long, I don't think I could write the music that I write today.
Yeah, and with him, I feel like you probably got some of that strength that you sing with such a solid, strong sound. And with her, that flow, that beautiful flow with some of that vibrato. And
I think that she had like a quick, fast vibrato.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Camarón had like more a slower vibrato.
Right.
And they had different style for sure, for sure. Yes.
Right. But that's why you're able to do both because you listen to both and sang along. And that's why you're so adept at doing both the faster and the slower. Because when I say to you, let's do it, you know, when we do those exercises, with vibrato, without vibrato, slow it down. Like, you're always able to do it. Not everybody can do that.
Do you think that it's natural, like that people can do like fast vibrato, if that's what's natural for them, or they can do just slow vibrato, or they can practice both and everybody can do both? What do you think?
Well, no, I don't think everybody can do both. I think that everyone has the potential, but they just have to work at it.
Yeah.
You get it very quickly. And some people, it takes a little bit longer, but they have to really practice it. And then some people, they just never get it. But, you know, the way I look at it is some people, I think, maybe they're not supposed to. Maybe they're supposed to sing just how it is because that's who they are.
That
and makes
sense.
Them who they are. We know their voice when we hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always try to, you know, have everyone try everything like an adventure, mine the gold, see what's there, but also always keeping in mind what makes you special or what makes you unique.
Because
that's important too. You want to sound like yourself. But when we do it, I don't worry about you not sounding like yourself because I know you're going to sound like yourself. It'll just be with a faster or slower vibrato, but it's still going to sound like Rosalía because your tone and everything else is so distinctive.
Oh, thank you.
You know, so I just never want anyone to lose that because I think that's so important.
The personality and the voice, right?
Oh. Everything.
Right. When I was studying flamenco, like this traditional style, there's so many stories that I never experienced in my life. I felt like it was very beautiful to be able to channel those stories on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I really think that that's the challenge with this music. Aside of the technical, flamenco is super technical, it's very complicated, but in a beautiful way. The melodies are like complex, like the rhythms. There's a lot of different things. But then for me, like the most beautiful thing about it is the expression, the stories and everything behind it. I'm very, very, very grateful that I could spend these years of just studying for so long. Yeah, at least 10 years of studying this music.
Don't move a muscle. I'll be right back with Backstage Pass and my guest, Rosalía. I'm Eric Vitro, and I'm back with my guest, Rosalía. You know, it doesn't surprise me you talk about doing these things so young, because I think that people who do become great and have longevity are the people that, well, they were, first of all, lucky enough to know something they really wanted to do when they were really young.
That's a blessing.
Yeah, it's a total blessing. But then to also have that work ethic to really keep working towards it.
Yes.
But I feel like I was one of those lucky people who knew when I was very young what I wanted to do because what I'm doing now is what I've done my whole life, you know?
Which is amazing. And you still do it with so much passion. And I think that's amazing.
Well, I think when you really work at getting better at something, if you feel like you are continually getting better, mm-hmm. I think it just makes it even more exciting. Yes. So that's why I say I'm enjoying teaching more now than I ever did. And wow. I said that last year, and I said that the year before. But it's true. I enjoy it more now because I feel like I'm better at it now.
Wow.
And that's exciting. And then I think, well, maybe I could get even better. Maybe I could do even more.
Yes.
And so,
hell yeah.
Of course, music keeps evolving. Mm-hmm. So that makes it interesting as well.
Yes.
It's not the same.
Yes. And I think that, for example, for me, my family was very supportive, but nobody around was a musician. Nobody was connected to the industry. And it was really hard to like figure out how to become a musician for me. And it wasn't, as I was telling you before, I didn't feel like I had like a great voice or something like that. There's kids that they naturally, they sing amazing. They have these big voices since they're kids. And for me, it wasn't like that. So I really had to like spend this time, these years and have a lot of patience and a lot of like being humble, you know, like really, okay, failing. This doesn't sound right yet. Okay, but I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep doing it till it sounds right. And I think that sometimes it's more about that, mm-hmm. being persistent, being consistent to like being there, like committed than anything else.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I'm so glad you're saying that because I think for people listening, they can apply it to anything they're doing.
I think that sometimes you can kind of forget how hard it was to get here. At least for me, I could forget for a second how hard I had to work, how important it was for me to get to this point where I can work and do the work that I love the most. So I always feel like being grateful mm-hmm. and feeling happy, feeling joyful about it. That's important for me. I think that that's the best mindset for me.
I totally agree with that. And I really got to know Rosalia quite well during that first period because for months, we would do lessons 5 to 6 days a week.
Yeah, almost every day.
We did a lot of lessons and I was so impressed yes. with your work ethic. I wanted to ask you, is that just naturally who you are? Like you're just someone who throws themselves 100% in?
I think so, yes. Yes, completely. Because I'm a perfectionist. So I always like try to push myself to learn as much as possible and to try to get the best result in my work, if that makes sense. It was like a lot of new things that you were teaching me. And I was like, wow, this is all very new. Even if I was studying for so long voice lessons and everything with you, it was like, there's so many new things and I really want to learn these and understand it, mm-hmm. like try to really, really, really push. I commit. I think no matter what you choose, what you do, you gotta commit. At least that's how I approach it.
Rosalia has told me that her discipline to her career was influenced by her mom, and that doesn't surprise me at all. I've been observing people for years, and I've seen that artists who have great work ethics quite often learn them from the people who raised them.
She's a very strong woman, but with a lot of, like, her work ethic is amazing, unbelievable. She's such a hard-working person, and I think that she always had great advices. She always advised me and she always have a perspective about things that I'm always like, okay, let me see what my mom thinks. Always, always. And I think that nowadays, like, it's very important for me, my family, the Latin Grammys in Las Vegas. It was 2 years ago and my grandpa just passed, like, he just died. Like, the day before I had to perform and I was very far from home and I remember I didn't feel like singing, but still, I sang and I did it. And that was, I think, one of the hardest performances I had to do. My mind wasn't there and my heart wasn't there,
right.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, totally.
But the other moments, I'm always very happy, very, very excited, very grateful to be able to perform.
That's, and he would have wanted you to, I'm sure.
I hope so. I was thinking about him when I was singing.
Wow.
For sure.
No, I bet he felt that wherever he is. Mm. I think that because parents, grandparents, anybody who leaves us, they want you to keep going and shine and do your best. They don't want you to stop your life.
I feel like he protects me somehow.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like
I like
he protects me, yeah.
Wow. Mm. But that now, That performance in Vegas, did you feel good mm-hmm. about that you were able to do it and do a good job?
I think so, yes. Because it was really hard. And I think at some point, I had to sing. And maybe that sadness, I could kind of channel it mm-hmm. by singing.
Right.
I think. I really feel very excited to perform. Most of the times, I think my heart always goes faster. Like, my heart always races. Always, always. And I feel like that's because I care.
I'd have to say, my favorite time seeing Rosalía perform was at the 2020 Grammys. No matter how proud I am when I watch Rosalía perform or make her music, I have to say, I'm always excited to start our vocal lessons again.
I've been missing it now that we're not doing it so much because I'm in the studio trying to finish this record. I think it's almost there. So I had to focus on production, but Eric, I'm coming back.
Oh, good.
Eric, perdón.
But what is it about doing that? Is it just that it's so creative that you love it?
Mm.
Or is it because you feel like I know what I want better than anyone else can create for me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is it? Because I know you get so immersed in it.
Yes. I feel like for me, it's so important how my music sound, how the songs sound. And it's so personal too, that I feel like there's no way that I can just let somebody else do it. At the end of the day, I feel like my albums is what it's gonna last. When I'm not here anymore, this is what it's gonna be here. I really care about the songs, every song, to try to make it the best way possible. I wish I didn't care as much, but at the same time, I know that caring so much makes a difference, I think, in the way things sound. And that's just who I am. Like, I cannot change it. It really represents you, it represents your point of view, and you can really be, like, proud of it. I really try to do it the best I can. I really try to practice as much as I can.
Yeah.
I care for the details on everything, not just when I'm singing. I think that in everything, in the light, the stage design, the clothes that I'm wearing, the colors, the nails, you mean? I mean, the nails, of course. everything. And I enjoy doing it like that. And I think that that's like a work ethic. And I feel like if one day I don't care like that, as much as like that, I don't think that the result would be as good. So I don't feel it's a bad thing to be a perfectionist.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But at the same time, I feel very grateful that you helped me to be like, okay, yeah, you can be a perfectionist while you are practicing, but once you go on stage, forget it, and just perform. Because that's how I used to do it when I was younger, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. But then sometimes you can kind of forget it for a second when you get caught up on technical things. And it's great that somebody reminds you.
Speaking of technical things, after the break, we'll get to the vocal tips of the week, influenced by Rosalía herself, right after this. Here they are, my vocal tips of the week. First, I've had really good results having my students always do at least one forward placement exercise every lesson, one where I actually encourage them to allow themselves to sound nasal. Now, I always say to them, don't panic. I'm not trying to turn you into a nasal sounding singer. It's just one of the many exercises that will help you warm up your voice in a healthy way and also help you to increase your range. Basically, what I want you to do is to focus the sound and the vibrations of your voice in the front part of your face, which is referred to as the mask. That area starting right around your forehead, all the way down to about the bottom of your nose. You heard Rosalía. It's her favorite exercise. Now it's your turn to try. Basses, baritones, and tenors start on the C below middle C, like this. Repeat that pattern, transposing it In other words, changing keys down by half steps until you reach your lowest note, and then going right back up until you reach your highest note. Sopranos and altos, you start on an A below middle C, like this. Again, repeat that pattern, transposing it down, changing keys by half steps until you reach your lowest note, and then going right back up, changing keys by half steps until you reach your highest note. I'll give you an example. Try not to move your jaw when you're pronouncing that nay, nay, nay. Just move your tongue. By practicing moving your tongue without moving your jaw will not only free up your voice, but it will make it so much easier for you to pronounce lyrics on high notes when you're doing songs. Another exercise I always try to fit in every lesson is one that will prep you to sing your runs and riffs better, one that will make your vocal cords more flexible and limber, and also really help you to level up your skills with better agility. Try starting out with half steps like this. If it feels hard for you to stay on pitch on this exercise, because it is tricky, start really slow, trying to sing every note cleanly, and then gradually build up speed. A really great way to teach you to sing these half steps would be to play them on the piano as you sing them. Even if you don't know how to play the piano, anyone can play half steps because it's just one note after another. You might not have a piano or keyboard at home, but you can always download a piano keyboard app onto your phone or tablet. A good middle range for sopranos and altos would be to start here on a middle C. For you basses, baritones, and tenors, start here one octave lower than middle C. As always, experiment and see how high and how low you can go, but of course, without straining. It should always feel comfortable. If you want to try out the vocal tips from this episode, I'd love to hear you. Use the hashtag BackstagePassPod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or wherever you like to post. I can't wait to hear you. After the credits, you'll hear more of my conversation with Rosalia.
Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me.
Backstage Pass with Eric Vitro is written and hosted by me, Eric Vitro, and produced by Morgan Jaffe. Catherine Girardot is our showrunner. Emily Rostek is our associate producer, mixed and mastered by Ben Tolliday. Additional engineering help is from Jacob Gorski. Mia Lobel is our executive producer. Our development team, Lital Molad and Justine Lang, helped create the show. Thanks also to Jacob Weisberg, Heather Fain, John Schnarrs, Carly Migliori, Christina Sullivan, Eric Sandler, Maggie Taylor, Nicole Morano, Daniela Lucan, and Royston Bezerg. Original theme music is by Jacob and Sita Steele for Premier Music Group. We record at Resonate Studios. Fred Tallickson does our videography, and the photography is by Ken Sawyer. A very special thanks to Michael Lewis for his inspiration and the best guidance anyone could ask for. Backstage Pass with Eric Vitro is a production of Pushkin Industries. And if you like the show, please remember to share, rate, and review. I mean that, really. Share it, rate it, and review it. If you love this show and others from Pushkin Industries, consider subscribing to Pushkin Plus. Pushkin Plus is a podcast subscription that offers bonus content and uninterrupted listening for $4.99 a month. Look for Pushkin Plus on Apple Podcast subscriptions. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. I was out recently. I had to go pick up something, and I went into the store to pick it up.
Yeah.
And your song with Bad Bunny was playing.
Oh my God, La Noche, La Noche.
This girl who was, I was waiting to help me, was doing something for someone else. And all of a sudden, I looked over and she was singing along. And I saw her lips going with it and she was kind of smiling.
Hey.
And I thought, wow, I'm seeing the joy that an artist's music brings to people.
Oh.
She was probably enjoying her day so much more getting to hear your songs.
Yay.
It was making her day go by faster. Then when she came over to help me, she was all smiles and really friendly. And I thought, wow, it's really beautiful to see that.
Everything.
It's not just in a live setting. It's on the recording, it's in the videos, it's wherever anyone's listening.
Yeah, how powerful is that, right? For me, what makes my day is listening music. And I feel so happy when you tell me that, because then that happens, the same thing that happens to me, that I listen so much music, it can happen to other people with the music I do. And I feel so grateful, you know?